Hello, and thank you for joining us on our Inspire Church podcast. It's our prayer that this message inspire you, that it builds your faith, and that it can help you see how God desires to move in your life. Enjoy the message.
2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshy or human, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring every thought into obedience to God's knowledge. Interesting where it talks here about the weapons, spiritual weapons that God has given us, because he says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. So there's other things happening in your life than just what's happening, what you can just see in front of you. There's forces, there's powers that are trying to make an impression upon you to sabotage what God wants to do within your life. Also, the heavenly forces are encouraging us to walk in the ways of blessing and things that will help us to get to our potential. So he speaks about these weapons of our warfare are not natural. It's interesting, and I've read it so many times in this verse, not once does he talk about what the weapon is. But what he's trying to impress upon us is the power of what God has given to us. We know what the weapons are. It's prayer, praise, thanksgiving, fasting, waiting on God, keeping good spirit, keeping a good attitude, determination, all those weapons that God's placed within our life. And he wants us to know, hey, first of all, before you even know what they are, this is the power that they hold. And he says they're mighty. Descriptive word, they're mighty, which is dynamic. And I don't know if you've seen dynamite at work, where you see on the movies where they put a stick of gelignite and it just explodes a mountain or explodes that which it's sitting in. And it speaks about here that the weapons that God's given to us, they're mighty, they're dynamic. And then he says they're in God. What does that mean? They are divine. Anything that I think of is in God, is good, it works, it's powerful, it's tried and true. God is the source of the weapons that he's given us. Prayer, waiting on God, moving forward, renewed mind, the weapons that he has given to us. This word stronghold is an interesting word. If you want another word for stronghold, it's fortress. And I remember as kids, we used to build forts up in trees and pretend that we were kind of the guardians of the block of land, or we put up the fortress because we want to know if our parents were coming so we could just warn each other. So there's kind of these fortresses that are built. And as we see that fortresses are usually situated in high areas so that it can be viewed what is coming and going. If something bad's coming, they can shut the gate. If something good's coming, they can open the gate. It either keeps things out or keeps things in. So when God says, hey, it's able to pull down strongholds, sometimes we allow things into our lives that are not good, and we shut the door, and that's just the way it is. That's just the way I am. I can never get ahead in life. I'm not quite good enough. Or I am better than everybody else, the pride aspects of life. And it becomes a fortress. But what God's trying to say in his word is that he has given us weapons that are powerful, that are divine, that can pull down strongholds. And you might say, I may not even know what they are. Well, sometimes they're the things that you just struggle with in life. Sometimes it's a stronghold that causes you from go from one relationship to another relationship, one job to another job. There's got to be kind of something there that's kind of locked into our life. But God's saying, hey, if you'll just keep walking with me, I'm going to deal with the strongholds. And you're going to begin to see life from a different perspective, because he is the God that desires our best in life. The mindsets we need to demolish are the ones that kind of isolate us from the purposes that God has for us. Because I know if I've got a challenge in life, and I'm not sure what it is, or I do know what it is, I probably tend to isolate instead of putting myself into a place where God can deal with those strongholds and I can be free to move on in the purpose that God has for me in Jesus' name. And then it says this, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now you have a picture of the challenge that sometimes we find ourselves in. Because strongholds are not that easily to deal with and seem demolished. But in God, we can see the change. Naturally, you just kind of think, oh, I'll never see change. I can never move forward. But in God, we can. And I believe that each one of us here today are testimonies of, as you walk with God, there's something of the weapons of God that work within your life and through your life to liberate you, to give you different perspectives, godly perspectives on life, so that you can reach your potential. You've got to be intentional. Intentional. I like that word, intentional. I get up in the morning and I can just roam through life, or I can be intentional. I can come to church, or I can intentionally seek God. Thank God you turned up this morning. Thank God you're here. And God's got something for you, but intentional. Let me just read this to you. Some people have their thinking so deeply entrenched, by the time they are in their 20s, they've set the railway tracks for life, and they think, this is what I am for the rest of my life. This is what I am. I didn't go to the right school, so I'm not smart enough. I didn't marry into the right family, so I haven't got the resources. I didn't do that well in uni. Got hassles in my life, worked hard and that kind of stuff. And it just seems like there's this kind of, oh, well, whatever will be, will be. Get into their 20s, and the dominant thought has been established, and this is how life's going to be. And for the rest of their life, they live out of this dominant thought. You know, our thoughts come and go. You know, I'm probably at the moment thinking coffee. But I'll go on to something else in a moment. But your dominant thoughts are made up of the thoughts that come and go from your mind, but ones that you choose to dwell on. So your dwelling could be, I can never do things right. I can never do things right. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Not good enough. If you keep saying that self to yourself long enough, it becomes a dominant thought. I'll never be happy. I'll never be happy. I'll never be happy. And sooner or later, it becomes a dominant thought. Doesn't matter the goodness that happens around you. You've got this dominant thought that life will never be happy for you. So most people have their thinking, or some people have their thinking so deeply entrenched by the time in their 20s, they don't change much after that. They'll change their jobs. We change our jobs. We change our churches. We change our marriages. But we don't change our thinking. And we wonder why things are not changing. I just go from, you know, one relationship to another, one church to another, one job to another. Nothing ever seems to change, but you are not programmed. You have charge of your life under God to make it as good or as bad as you desire. But God's plan is that our mind is renewed so that we begin to line up with what God has in store for us. We can change. Yeah. We want different results. But we've got to begin to change what we think and what we do. What we think and what we do. You see, just a question. Do you see kind of patterns in your life that you really like? The good ones. Yeah, you may be a wife and say, yeah, I'm a good wife, good woman. cook real food, you know, and I'm a good mother. And you could be a guy and just say, yeah, I'm a good father, good provider. You could be single and say, yeah, I'm good. And I think it's good to identify what you're good at, because not everything's bad. Then kind of get an idea of what, you know, what may be the bad. You got the good, the bad, the ugly. So get an idea of what you're good at. Then what are you bad? What's the bad? Yeah, I'm a bit unreliable sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm not thoughtful. And, you know, just get an eye on them, because what you can identify, usually you can change. Sometimes we change by stealth and we don't know what's happened because we're in the right atmospheres. But I think it's good for us to identify, hey, the good in our life, which is, has the blessing, man, and it's a blessing to others, and you see yourself moving forward. The bad is how it affects you moving forward, how it affects others. And the ugly is, oh dear, rotten temper, angry, gossiper, untrustworthy, unreliable. And to intentionally kind of see those things that can hold you back in life. Probably my challenge over the years is kind of being secure enough in myself that I'm willing enough to admit that I could be wrong. That my mindset needs to change about how I view different things in life. How I view work. How I view the opposite sex. How I view the challenges of life. I used to think that every time I had a challenge that I must be sinning. I must be doing something wrong. Then I began to read the Word of God. Man, Paul must have been the greatest sinner. He went through so many trials up and down. So it doesn't matter if trials come and go. It's got nothing to do about, am I a sinner? Well, it could. But if you know you're right with God, hey, it's part of life. Let's suck it up. Let's move on. Count it all joy. The effectiveness of the weapons of our warfare. They are effective. They destroy arguments. What's an argument? It's a reason. Do you know, Joe, that a bank robber has a reason why he robbed the bank? He's got a reason. My mum needed the money. Or someone who cheats on their partner, they got a reason. Or someone who tells lies. Everyone kind of has a reason. But when we get into the presence of God, the light shines on that, and if it's a reason that doesn't line up with the Word of God, the light exposes it for what it is. And then you see so many people after they've kind of had this reason that's wrong, and they've, you know, it's caught them out, or something's happened, that, oh man, how could I be so stupid? And it says that the Word of God and being in the presence of God and the weapons that God has given to us, it destroys arguments. It destroys the reasons. And that's what I love about church and being here today. There's something happening in this atmosphere, in the presence of God, in the anointing of God, that begins to activate the weapons of righteousness within our life, and our minds are coming into right alignment. God's doing something in our life, and we've been brought closer on the path, and He's dealing with the reasons. And it says also, destroys every lofty thing. Lofty things are my opinions. My opinions. You ask John, I've got an opinion on everything. But sometimes I won't tell you because it's only my opinion. What does the Word of God say? What do you think? The Bible says, don't be wise in your own eyes. I think we can be certain about certain things in the Word of God, but that certainty does not apply to everything in life. There is other ways of seeing things. You may say, hey, John's on stage. Do you see all of him? True? No, you don't. You don't see my back. It all depends what angle you're looking at. And certain things in life, that they are certain. Jesus loves us. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's good to live a good moral life. You know, we know all those things. They're kind of black and white. But other things, we can look at it different. Of how we approach life. Our approach to finance. Our approach to serving. And our approach to things is other things. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs. I've been talking about this 23. It reads like this. As a man thinks, the dominant thought in his heart, so he is. So whatever fills your heart will begin to fill your life. So as a man thinks in his heart, so he will be. So just for the next few moments, I want to expand this thought. You know, we know it's a warfare. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war in the flesh. We know that there are forces that we deal with through prayer, fasting, get our mind renewed. We know those kind of things. But I think we just got to watch, and I just want to bring a balance to this today. It's not all about war. That every day, it's a war, it's a battle. That some days are like that. Man, you're staying on top, man, just fighting for oxygen today. But I want to tell you, the whole of life is not you getting up every day, warfare. If you have warfare thoughts every day, you're going to go home absolutely stressed and worn out. You got to realize the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. Not fleshly, but they're divine. So what do you say, John, about how do you not fight warfare? Yeah, I do fight warfare. Some days they're a battle, but every day God fights for me. God is fighting for me. He's on my side. I'm walking before him in righteousness and peace and joy. And God works within my life to transform me, to change me, to renew me, to protect me, and to look after those things that concern me. God's doing more fighting than I am. I just turn up and God does the fighting through me. Otherwise, every day, oh, the devil's after me. Hey, stop praising the devil. Thank God that he's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you defeated the devil. You just turning up every day, it's a smack in the head to the devil. Just keep being obedient to God the best way you can. Let him do the fighting. You're just the vessel. You're just the vessel. Some people every day, ha, he, ha, ha, he, ha, ha. Oh, man, you got to be fit to have a life like that. I just want to rest in what Christ has accomplished for me in Jesus' name. Ah, he's fighting through us. That's why he wants you to know the power of the weapons that he's given to you. You just pray and God goes to work for you. You fast and God goes to work for you. You have a song of joy in your heart and God goes to work within you. Even the Old Testament, they went out to battle. They sent the singers out in front to go battle. God's working for you. He's working through you. Come on, can you hear that today? He's working for you. He's working through you. You got to turn up. Have the good spirit. Have the good attitude. Oh, God is amazing. But also, your mind is very powerful. I think there is great power in what we think, but also there's great power in what we do. And I just want to link these together for a moment this morning because I think what you do can affect your thinking and what you think affects what you do. You do. Do something different. Think something different. And you might think, oh, John, is there easier ways of improving the thought paths? You might say, oh, it's so hard. Come on, get rid of that war mentality and understand that God is fighting for you. What does John bring to the plate every day? What does John get up and do every day? I just get up. Consistency. This is another day of moving forward. Do I say that? No, but it's in my heart. This is another day where I'm going to stand my ground. We've done it. Stand firm. Stand my ground in God. Temptations come. Hey, I'm standing my ground. I got to stand my ground. My God does the fighting for me. Consistency, it's perseverance, it's being intentional, not uptight, but a relaxed intention. God, I'm going to live for you and I'm determined. Whatever thing you put within my life that has potential, we're going to see it realized in Jesus' name. God, I put myself in the places where my mind can be expanded, where my mind can be renewed. God, deliver me from isolation and seeking my own way and seeking my own thing. God, I want to put myself in the light and I want to move forward and I want to become that person that you desire. Me. The enemy may try to wear you down and say you'll never change, but I know this, inch by inch, inch by inch. How do you eat an elephant? Inch by inch. You look and say, oh man, that's impossible. You might say, oh man, how can I change? How can I see, you know, change brought about in this situation? It's inch by inch. And sometimes you don't know how much progress you made, but other people can see it. We give ourselves a couple of months. No, it's not much change. Give yourself a year. Give yourself 2 years. You keep staying in fellowship, staying obedient to God, and let God fight for you. You'll be amazed how much ground you take. Yeah, there are times I want to quit, but I just know I've come too far to go back. Come too far to go back. Some of you have come too far to go back. Oh, I'm not getting anywhere. Don't go back. You don't realize how far you've come. When was the last time you did something different? When was the last time you went to work a different way? We get up in the morning, shower, breakfast. Out of the car, work, back in the car. Park the car, get out of the car, TV, wife, food, rub my feet. That's it. And we just consistently do the same thing, day in, day out. And that was a word for my wife, food, rub my feet, in Jesus' name, amen. When was the last time you went for a walk and you just saw the neighbors? Or you just saw the birds flying and others are sitting in our backyard yesterday. I was seeing these eagles or sparrows flying in the sky, and you just think, man, I don't usually see them. I'm usually, oh, yeah. Do something different. You'd be amazed what doing something different can do to your thinking. Listen to this. Nothing new just happens until you do something different. You got to be intentional about breaking the dominant thought patterns. You see, if you're trying to get better at managing your money and you get 50 bucks and you say, man, I'm rich, and you go and spend it. And you, oh man, I should have saved that. I've got to get that sorted. But then you keep on doing the opposite. That diminishes your ability to get forward in life. Sometimes what we do is so contrary to what we're trying to fix, because our dominant thought will not address or change the issues that are at hand. So you got to find something that's going to pump up your tires. Change of thought. You know, if you want to see change, see change. That sounds good. Do you want to get fit? Do you want to lose weight? You've got to have a reason why. You know, someone, oh, I'm getting married soon, I just need to lose a bit of weight. I've got to fit into the suit, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I just want to live longer, and I just want to have more energy and those kind of things. If you're going to do something, you've got to have a reason why. There's got to be a reward in life. And if you're going to change, you've got to have an eye on the person that you want to be as change happens. Otherwise, you're not going to be intentional about it. If I was to ask you a question is, and this will kind of get you thinking a bit, do you like to serve alone? Okay. Do you like, okay, this is my job, I'll do it, and that kind of stuff. We've got people in the church that serve and they do the garden, and they're just happy pulling out weeds around the church and that kind of stuff, because they're just happy to do it alone. They're cool. Or do you like working in a team where everybody's there and we're chatting and we're leaning on our shovels and that kind of stuff? We're not getting anything done, but man, it's fun. You know, do you like working in a team? So what skills am I good at? What can I do? I was talking to a gentleman. He says, John, every time there's a special event, he says, I was talking to him in between the break. He says, I come in and I work in the kitchen. Just love doing it. Why do you love doing that? I'm a chef. Oh, come home. What presses your button? You know, there's skills we've got and there's things that press our button. You know, you might come in here today and you just kind of think, oh, man, that's not quite right. You know, I come in church every Sunday and I stand up here and I look down this line. And I say, Emily, chairs need to be straight. I cannot preach if the chairs are crooked. You might say, you serious? No, I'm serious. If I come in and I see rubbish on the floor around the place and that kind of stuff, I'm kind of paranoid about cleanliness. We're representing God. That's my button. And I love to see people rise up and reach their potential, because I didn't start where I am. I didn't do well in school. I was inferior, had inferiority complex, and I saw myself rise up out of it. And I see others sometimes, you're stuck in a mindset of a dominant thought, and I just think, man, there's more in you yet. I get passionate about those kind of things. And that's why I'm up here preaching, because I'm passionate. But I want to go back to that benefits again. If you're going to make changes and see your life and mind transformed, you got to see the benefits. Overall, it's to be more like Jesus. Overall, it's to kind of, that I can be better father, better husband, better grandfather, better friend, better pastor. Your life betters when you become more like Jesus. And I find the more I become journeying in this life, the more freer I am become to be myself. The less stressed I am, because I know God's working for me. I just keep making the right footsteps, the right approaches. God works for me.
Thanks again for joining us. If you have any questions or simply for more information regarding Inspire Church, visit us at inspirechurch.com. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. It's our prayer that you live inspired by the Word of God and more alive in Him than ever before. Until next time.